1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 15. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Lord, as we have been looking at the future, personal future for individual people, the lost and the saved and people of all ages, and we are beginning to consider now the future of people of this age. And we come to this matter of your judgment seat. Lord, cause all believers to have confidence toward this today, and cause any who are unsaved to realize that this judgment seat is not where they will be appearing, but they will have a different judgment coming. And so, Holy Spirit, teach us, build us, encourage us today, and that Jesus Christ might be worshiped, adored, and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been looking at the personal future of people, and we're now looking at the personal future of the saved of this age. Last time we looked at the resurrections that are coming, and today we look at the judgment seat of Christ, which is part of every saved person's personal future. The judgment seat of Christ. Every saved person's personal future. So, this is very important to you. And so we're going to, again this morning, try to ask and answer 10 questions about the judgment seat of Christ. And question number one is, what is it? What is it? The word judgment seat, in Greek, it's the word bema. You can see it in Romans 14:10. We will all stand before the judgment seat, the bema, of God. That verse points out the deity of the judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat, the bema of Christ. This is the identity of the judge. Jesus Christ, who is God, is the judge. Now, bema, that word actually appears 12 times in the Greek New Testament. 10 of those are references to historical bemas. Only these two, Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, are references to future eschatological bemas, a judgment seat. A bema, judgment seat, usually it was made out of stone. If perhaps you've been to Greece or Turkey, you've probably seen these. Maybe you've seen pictures of them. They are a stone judge's table, although sometimes they were made out of wood. And they were used in trials. The person would come before the bema. Some of them, I know the one in Corinth is probably about as long as this platform up here, made of stone. You can see the ruins of it. And the judge would be behind it, and the person on trial would be in front of it. In the Isthmian Games, the Greek forerunner to what you call the Olympics, that just ended, you do know in the Olympics they have judges, and the judges usually sit behind tables or some kind of a stand of something, some kind, that would be considered a bema, a judgment seat. So that is what it is. Question number two, when will it occur? Now, we can give a duration of time, a section of time, during which it must happen. The judgment seat of Christ must happen following the resurrection and rapture of the church. We know that because various verses say that your reward comes when Jesus comes. I've listed some of those verses for you. We won't look at them this morning. So it's following the rapture, and it has to be before the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, Because at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church has her rewards already. So that's the duration of when it will occur. Question 3, where will it occur? It will occur in heaven, because the resurrected, glorified church is there after the rapture. The church is there, glorified, at home with the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8 through 10, we see absent from the body, present with the Lord, at home with the Lord. Our ambition is to be pleasing to Him. Why? For, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So it will be in heaven after the rapture. Question number 4. Who is the judge? Now, this is fairly easy to answer because, after all, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. So Jesus Christ is the judge. Remember John 5:22 and John 5:27. We looked at those last time. John 5:22 and 5:27. Jesus has been given all authority to judge. He says the Father doesn't judge anyone, but the Father has given all authority to Jesus to judge. And that is true of all future judgments. Jesus is the judge. Question number 5. Who will be judged? Who will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? And the answer is only church age believers. Only saved people of this church age. In Romans 14:10, there is the word we. We in Romans 14 refers to believers. We, believers, will all stand before the judgment seat of God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we, again, this is believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No Old Testament saints, no Old Testament believers will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? They have a different time of reward judgment, and they get their reward after the tribulation. So we actually learn something from this. Being before Jesus for a reward judgment requires that you must be in your glorified body. Okay? Old Testament believers are not in their glorified bodies until after the tribulation at the second coming of Jesus. Church age believers are in their glorified bodies at the rapture. So no Old Testament saints, tribulation saints can't be at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Some of them aren't even saved yet at the time this is occurring. They're still on earth. Some of them are being martyred on the earth while the judgment seat of Christ is occurring in heaven. This can't be millennial age saints because they haven't even been saved yet. Some of them won't even have been born yet. So this is only church age saints, not any unsaved people will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. None. Unsaved people, we saw this last time, they will be resurrected and judged after the millennial kingdom at the great white throne judgment. We're not looking at that today, but that will be the whole message next time. The great white throne judgment. There will not be any unsaved people at the judgment seat of Christ. Just like there won't be any saved people being judged at the great white throne judgment. Those are two different judgments, two different places, two different times, two completely different purposes for different people. Question number six. How long will it take? Now, we've already seen the parameters for this are 7 years, right? After the rapture, before the marriage supper of the Lamb. 7 years. There is not a particular Bible verse that tells us exactly how long the judgment seat of Christ is going to take. So there have been various views put out there. Some say it will be instantaneous or at least a very short period of time. And of those who say it's instantaneous or a very short period of time, some of them would say that it's very soon after the rapture. And they tend to base that on Revelation 4:10 that talks about the 24 elders who have their crowns and cast their crowns down at the Lord's feet. Others say that it's at the middle of the 7 years. That's Revelation chapter 11. Verse 18, because there is a reference to judgment there in Revelation 18. Could be. Others say it takes up the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they also use Revelation 11:18 for that. But they just draw the time out for the first 3.5 years. And still others, and I would put myself in this viewpoint would say that the judgment seat of Christ will take up the entire 7 years. And the reason I would say that is there are many, many believers of the entire church age to be judged, and each will receive individual time before the Lord. And that could easily take up 7 years. Now, I don't doubt that Jesus, in his power, could do all of that instantaneously. Of course he could. I don't doubt that. But you will have individual time before him. Question number 7. What will the experience be? This experience will be in front of the Bema. There will be some kind of Bema, judgment seat, in heaven. Jesus will be behind it, and the individual believer will appear in front of it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear where? Before the Bema of Christ. Romans 14:10, we will all stand before, in front of the judgment seat, the Bema. This experience at the Bema will be individual. 1 Corinthians 3:8 that we read in our scripture reading, each man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:13, each man's work will become evident. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in his body. Each one. Romans 14, verse 12. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Each one. It's individual. What will happen there? The quality of deeds, works, labor, and this will include your motives, your thoughts, your words, as well as your actions. So the quality of this will be tested and revealed. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, we read that, but it tells us, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. The quality of each man's work tested by fire. 1 Corinthians 3:13, as well, the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. Now we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but when it says it will be revealed, that is revealed to you as an individual. The quality of your work, of your life, since you were saved. It will be revealed and it will be tested. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 tells us that there can either be good quality or bad quality. The deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, good and bad don't have anything to do with morally right and morally wrong. The word good, good quality, it's agathos, and it means worthwhile or useful or valuable. So the deeds you have done as a believer that are valuable, eternally valuable, worthwhile, those will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 3:12-14 tells us that the good quality works or deeds will remain. They will survive the fire like gold, silver, precious stones. So they will survive the fire. Now you should want to know, what kind of deeds will be considered as good or worthwhile that will survive the fire and remain? Well, broadly speaking, anything done for Christ's glory will remain and be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Say, you mean eating lunch could be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ if you do it for the glory of God? You mean mowing the lawn could be rewarded if you do it for the glory of God? You mean taking out the trash could be rewarded if you do it for the glory of God? And you could put 10,000 other things in there, and the answer is they will be rewarded if you do them for the glory of God. Okay? Lots of things can be rewarded. Disciplined service can be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25. To discipline yourself. He exercises self-control, the athlete competing in the games. Do it to receive an imperishable wreath. That is the incorruptible crown, the imperishable wreath. Personal sacrifice will be rewarded, Luke 18:29-30. Whatever you sacrifice, it'll be rewarded in the age to come. Personal sacrifice. You remember the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. The widow, she sacrificed. It was a small amount, but it was what? All she had. And she sacrificed it all. There is reward for sacrifice. Unnoticed service or work or the showing of love. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Others might not notice, but the Lord doesn't forget. Those things of service and work and love, He remembers. Unjust suffering will be rewarded. Matthew 5:10-12. Rejoice and be great when you're persecuted unjustly, for your reward in heaven is great. Sincere intent, Luke 14:12-14. You'll be rewarded. In this case, it was for putting on a lunch without expecting any kind of reciprocation or repayment or something. You just had good intent that you wanted to put on lunch for some people, and that would be rewarded. Bringing others to salvation. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. This is the rejoicing crown, our hope, joy, crown of exaltation. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? And Philippians 4:1 talks about that as well. So there's a rejoicing crown for bringing others to salvation. Loving Jesus appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. This is the righteousness crown. The crown for all of those who have loved His appearing. Looking forward to the rapture, anticipating it. Elders who shepherd well, 1 Peter 5:4. There is a glory crown for those elders, the unfading crown of glory. Persevering under trials and suffering, James 1:12, the crown of life. So enduring suffering brings a crown. You can see Here's a whole list of things. Could there be reward? Yes. Many things can and will be rewarded. Those are things of good quality that are worthwhile, that survive. But things of worthless quality, the things that 2 Corinthians 5:10 calls bad, good or bad, the word bad, phallos, it means useless, not worthwhile, but worthless. The worthless quality deeds will be burned and lost. 1 Corinthians 3:12, those will be the wood, hay, and straw. 1 Corinthians 3:13, tested with fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. And verse 14, if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. He will suffer loss. The loss will be experienced as suffering, 1 Corinthians 3:15. You will suffer loss as you watch, and the quality of your life, of your works, of your thoughts, of your words, of your deeds, of your motives, the quality of all that is tested, and you watch some of it just go up in flame. And when it goes up in flame, it's what? It's gone. And you will suffer through that. The loss will be a loss of reward. And while your salvation can never be lost, reward can be lost. 2 John chapter 1, there is only one chapter, verse 8. John says, watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Is it possible to lose reward? Yes. Yes. And this loss will involve shame. There will be shame at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 tells us, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. You know what? There are some saved people who think they are not looking forward to the rapture. Do you know that? They hope it's not today. So when they get raptured, they picture themselves kind of going like this and shrinking away, and they will have shame before him. Loss of reward will involve shame. Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be what? Ashamed of you." There will be the experience of shame there. So these worthless quality deeds will go up in smoke. Many of you will see many conversations, worthless words, worthless conversations, worthless activities, worthless deeds just go up in flame. And you will not be rewarded for those things. The reward will be lost. So, well, can I make it up? No. You better be looking to heap up the reward now. You can't make it up then. Now, question number 8. What will not be considered or included in the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat of Christ is not a determination of salvation. Nobody finds out that they're saved at the judgment seat of Christ. And nobody finds out that they're not saved at the judgment seat of Christ. Because no unsaved people will be there. And nobody loses their salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. All those before the judgment seat of Christ are already glorified. No sins will be considered, remembered, or judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know that? No sins are judged there. Why? Well, Hebrews 8:12, your sins are remembered no more. I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus took all of the penalty, all of the judgment for sin on the cross. Hebrews 10:14, by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Your sin is gone. It's all on Jesus, and he has done away with it. Hebrews 10:17 and 18. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Where there's forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin, future offering for sin. Many of you remember Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus was judged for our sins on the cross. You will not be judged for any sin at the judgment seat of Christ. All sin was judged and paid for. There will be no condemnation at the judgment seat of Christ. John chapter 3 verse 18. He who believes is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24. He who hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, condemning judgment, but he's passed out of death into life. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If there's no condemnation for you now, do you think there will be in the future at the judgment seat of Christ? No, there's no condemnation. There's no punishment. The judgment seat of Christ is not chastening to correct you so that you'll do better in the future. Why? You've already been glorified. The judgment seat of Christ is not some form of purgatory, you know, to help improve you in some way. Chastening for believers is now. It's happening now in your life, according to Hebrews 12:5-11. The judgment seat of Christ is not dealing with unconfessed sins. Say, well, you're supposed to confess all your sins, and if you don't, if you forget some, those will be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ, and then you have to confess them. No! They're all gone! They're remembered no more! And the judgment seat of Christ is not a public exposure of sins. Now, there are those who teach this way, that the judgment seat of Christ, your whole life will be flashed up on the screen in front of the assembly for everybody to see, and they'll see everything you ever did. No, it won't. It won't. It'll be you and Jesus. And he will reveal to you what goes up in smoke. But nobody else will get to see that. It's between you and Jesus. So these are things that will not happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Question number 9, what will the rewards be? Those who are rewarded will be praised by the triune God. 1 Corinthians 4:5. This is an important verse. Do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes. Okay? You don't have to judge and criticize and analyze everything and everybody now. There are lots of things that you can just say, you know what? You'll deal with that at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I don't need to analyze that and figure that out now. Wait until the Lord comes. So this is after the Lord comes, after the rapture. Who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Will motives be considered at the judgment seat of Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. The motives that are for the glory of God will be rewarded. The motives that are other motives, no. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Praise from God. What will the rewards be? Honored by the Father. John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus said, if any man serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Worthless things get shame. The worthwhile things get honor from the Father. Matthew 25:21, probably a very well-known verse to a lot of you. You'll get well done from the Son. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. By the way, not everyone gets a well done at the judgment seat of Christ. Not everyone does. Abundant entrance into the millennial kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Will you have a paltry entrance into the millennial kingdom, or will you have an abundant, rewarded entrance into the millennial kingdom? Greater degree of ruling and reigning in the millennial kingdom. Luke chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. Well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities. Second came, your mina has made five minas. He said to him also, you are to be over five cities. There are varying degrees of reward, and there are varying degrees of leadership and rulership by glorified church age saints in the millennial kingdom to various degrees. Now, everybody will be ruling and reigning with Christ, but not to the same extent. Some will be honored more. Some will have greater leadership during that time. Inheritance, Colossians 3:24. From the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. This is a reward for service. Inheritance. Now, much of your inheritance in Christ you already received in your salvation, Ephesians chapter 1. But at the judgment seat of Christ, there is additional benefits of inheritance that can come to you as reward. All the reward crowns, which we've already covered, and you can see question number 7, where we covered those already. By the way, some people picture rewards as, well, all there is crowns. You know, so we're evaluating, what do the crowns look like, and what, how big a crown am I going to get, and all that kind of thing. You know what? I mean, the crowns will be good. They'll be great. But do you know what? Well done will probably be greater. Being honored and praised by God, having a position of leadership and rulership in the coming kingdom, you know, much rather have that than a crown. Not to diminish the crowns. They're all good. They're all important. Privileged service in the eternal state. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. His bondservants will serve him. That's in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, in the eternal state. And increased ruling and reigning in the eternal state forever. Revelation 22:5. They will reign forever and ever. Now, those are rewards, and I'm sure there are more that we haven't even mentioned here as well. Question number 10. How does awareness of the judgment seat of Christ motivate believers now? Well, we are to live, to gain reward. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Run in such a way that you may win. Okay. Everybody is not a winner in God's eyes. No. You discipline yourself. You run in a way so that you will win the prize. That's a motivation. Realize that serving the Lord has genuine eternal value. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. There is reward. Serving the Lord has value. Our ambition is to please the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. Whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's our ambition, to be pleasing to Him. Say, what is your great ambition in life? What's your great ambition in life? To be pleasing to Him. Press on for the prize, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize that comes at the rapture, the upward call. Press on for the prize. Purify yourself. 1 John 3:2 and 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself. And 1 John chapter 4, and we'll finish with this today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. We have confidence regarding this day of judgment. Look at it. 1 John 4, verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Do you believe? Notice it doesn't say anything about do you feel. Do you believe the love of God that He has for you? God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected or matured with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, the we is referring to believers, and the day of judgment must be referring to the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because no believer is going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. So this is confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. Okay? Is there going to be any punishment at the judgment seat of Christ? No. Is there going to be any condemnation? No. Fear involves punishment. Now, should the judgment seat of Christ be motivating for you as a believer? Yes. But should it make you scared and terrified? No. Because there's no punishment involved, and perfect love casts out fear, and you know as a believer that the Lord loves you. He loves you with full, complete, eternal love. And that cannot be diminished or changed at the judgment seat of Christ. So that love casts out fear, and therefore you can have what? Confidence. You don't shrink back in shame, but with confidence you are anticipating, looking forward to the rapture, and desiring your reward. Heavenly Father, may your people now live in such a way that they may be rewarded, that their ideas, their thoughts, their words, their motives, their actions, their deeds, their service, even those things that may be unnoticed at the present or unrewarded in the present, will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And may they have greater and greater degrees of ruling and reigning with Christ in His kingdom and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.